feels like something Power Trip Bets or Power Trip Quotes should be helping out.
Yeah, why don't they just do it for free?
Those guys are all cool.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a show for the rubes, by the rubes, talking all things Power Trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets, and David, the one and only Power Trip Quotes. They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. This show is in no way, shape, or form sponsored by, affiliated with, or even tolerated by the Power Trip, KFAN, or iHeartMedia. In fact, we'd be willing to bet that Chad Abbott never listens to a single episode. And now, here are your hosts, Chuck and David.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, episode number 12. I am your co-host Chuck, otherwise known as Power Trip Bets.
And I am Dave, otherwise known as Power Trip Quotes.
All right, in today's episode, we've got a bets update, a quotes update, but most importantly, we've got the Chris Hockey interview. We'll talk to the Hawkman himself and see what wisdom he can lay on us tonight. So, as far as the Twins go, Mr. Cove, if you're still listening, the season's over. Okay, so They finish up strong. You probably shed a tear for Joe Mauer. I'm sure your son didn't shed any tears since he hasn't cried since E.T. But your thoughts, twin season over.
Mauer's gone. Mauler's gone.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
Jinx.
It's over. More importantly, the Vegas trip is on sale. And
let's go.
I tell you, part of it is awesome that, you know, like, the trip's already booked. I've got, you know, got my airline tickets. Everything's ready to go. The only thing that stinks is they did it earlier this year, and it's like, it's a six-month wait. I'm like, 6 months, but I guess it'll just build up that much more anticipation, right?
It'll be worth the wait. I mean, everybody's going.
Everybody's going to be there.
Like, even Church is going.
Yeah, Bonus is going to be there. I've never met Bonus before. Bonus is going to be there. I'm just hoping the one guy that I'm really hoping will make it is Scooby. But, of course, his schedule gets, you know, put up in the air depending upon what gigs he's working on or whatever. But I'm really hoping Scooby makes it.
For sure.
That guy's awesome.
Go Dolphins.
Absolutely. Go Dolphins. We might have to cheer for the Dolphins if things keep going south for the Vikings.
Yeah.
So, yes, Vegas trip, excited. Hopefully everybody can get out there. If you don't get the Power Trip trip packages, you know, you can always fly out there and book your own hotel and still show up at for the shows and the debauchery and the gambling. And it's such a good time. Last year was so much fun, and this year, 2019, I think is going to be epic, especially with the unofficial Rosie retirement party.
Well, and somebody might be having to ride the bus back home.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Right now, that's sauce. That's a good transition into the bets update, so why don't we do that?
Here's this week in Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets, though.
Where's Power Trip Bets when you need them?
Ask Power Trip Bets.
Is Power Trip Bets drunk?
You want to bet?
All right, so as we talked about there, the Church Challenge. Sauce is currently in last place in the Church Challenge. He hasn't had, like, awful weeks, but he just hasn't had the breakout weeks that some of the guys had. I mean, he did have a bad week when A.J. Green got hurt, but I felt he's made good picks. It's just other people have blown up. We've had record-setting performances this year. Patrick Mahomes week 2, Alvin Kamara week 4. So as it stands right now, Sauce is 13 points behind Creasel and in last place. But, you know, it's still only week 4. There's quite a ways to go, so we'll we'll see who's riding the bus, and unfortunately, that idiot ghost player keeps putting up some bad scores, and that makes it way more interesting when people are not only trying to not be last place, but get ahead of the ghost, and right now, the ghost is 15 points behind Sauce.
Yeah, you know, the ghost, I spoke with the ghost this morning, and he is just super pissed with the, you know, the scraps that Church is leaving him at the last pick. You know, he said that it's all rigged and that this is just total crap.
I concur, man. The ghost has got to get rolling here, make it a little more interesting. See what happens. So
yeah, Mark Ingram's coming off his suspension or whatever, so maybe he'll drop another 32 points in here somewhere.
That's what's going to turn it around. Absolutely. So as far as the bets update, since the last show, we've had two Konzemius and Lieber bets, and believe it or not, they split the bets. Lieber finally got them on the board. So it had been 4 weeks in a row. I was almost ready to start betting against him, like, with real money, but Lieber gets on the board as Notre Dame covered against Stanford, so Konzemius is up 4-1 on the year over Lieber on the college bets. Meanwhile, hockey took the Vikings +7 against Sauce and Tommy and the Rams, and that was a rare push bet. So since obviously the Vikings lost by 7 in that game, so nothing really happened there. I was hoping the line would be like, that's why I always like, you know, the 6.5 or 7.5. But
right, and especially a flat 7-point spread. That's yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't like that.
It's kind of weird because a lot of times you'll see that and. Like, I watch the lines pretty closely, especially, like, Saturdays and Sundays. And a lot of times, they won't move off the number unless a ton of money comes in. I mean, they might adjust the odds, so you might get, like, you know, the Vikings were getting, like, I think they were, like, -120 at +7, and the Rams were, like, you know, +100, like, even at +7, but they wouldn't move the line. So they'll adjust the odds a little bit, but a lot of times they're not willing to move the number of points. So, yeah, that was just a push bet. And then the other bet that was just one of those out-of-the-blue bets that I love when they do was that Corey bet hockey that Fox's The Cool Kids won't get picked up for a second season by any network, either Fox or any other network, and they put a large McDonald's fries. But the catch on that one is you have to deliver the large McDonald's fries during the show, so that'll make it a little bit better. So
These bets are fun.
I know.
These bets are fun, especially when you put the stakes as something – you know, obscure or not just a you know, a $20 bill every time, or, you know, do it as a punishment or a psychic reading or something like that. Like, keep it loose, keep it fun, and you can bet on anything. That's why gambling whales.
Absolutely. I mean, how many episodes of The Cool Kids have you watched?
Zero.
All right.
So I don't plan on watching any of it.
You're helping Corey out. I think I'm helping Corey out too. I'm not going to watch.
Yeah.
My in-laws are watching, though, so a little help for hockey there.
Shout out in-laws.
All right, and that will pretty much do it for the bets update. Of course, hopefully they'll throw some bets out there on the IQ test tomorrow, but only 6 people took it, and I don't think anybody's confident, so I think they might do some token bets, but I don't think there's going to be any high stakes. Like, I'm putting $500 that I beat Sauce on this bet, so we'll see how that all lines up tomorrow.
But we do have our bet.
Absolutely, yes. I got Corey, and I sent Chris some lines, and one of the bets I said that they could do, because I had over unders for all their IQs, and Chris read some of those on the air, and then I also sent him, like, they could do spreads against each other. So you and I have, you have Hawk, I have Corey, and we took it straight up. When I gave Hockey the lines, I had Corey at -7.5 IQ points, so slight advantage me, but. Who the heck knows how this is going to go?
Yeah, I don't know. I still for some reason, I got a good feeling about hockey in it.
Yeah, he could very well surprise you. He didn't seem as flummoxed by it as Corey did, which, I don't know. It's hard to know how to read that, so.
It's going to be just appointment radio at 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, my God. I think I'm going to work from home until 9 so I can listen to the whole thing without having to podcast, because if I don't, I'll be reading Twitter and I'll be getting, like, all the, you know, all the spoilers and everything. So,
right.
Just maybe work from home for a while tomorrow. So, all right. Well, that is the bets update. We'll move on to the quotes.
They're memorable. They're timeless. They'll probably get meat sauce fired. It's time for the quotes of the week.
Power trip quotes.
All right. And we got our quotes of the week. We got 3 this week. We will start with number 3, Christopher Allen Hockey on September 20th.
First of all, Jamie Lee Curtis looks super hot.
Would you? Is she still with us?
She is.
Jamie Curtis is dead,
Jamie
right?
Jamie Curtis
was her dad.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Hold on, let me look. Jamie Lee.
Not only is she still with us, she still looks top heavy.
I just thought she still looks top heavy. Like, you know, that triggered something in my brain. And, oh, I just thought that was super funny. We go to number two. We got Paul Meatsauce Lambert on September 20th.
If that's true, don't bang other people that belong to somebody else.
I mean, I can already see the t-shirts, you know, that we could be printing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for our side gig here. Don't bang other people who belong to somebody else. I mean, tough to argue with that.
Oh, of course. I'm like, that's solid advice, and that would fit on a t-shirt. I think we could get that on a t-shirt.
Love it. Maybe we'll see a couple of those in Vegas.
Oh, totally. The other thing I love about that is I didn't know it until you sent me that quote. I grabbed the audio clip that I Want Out by Helloween was playing underneath that, which I thought was one of the most genius musical drop-ins that hockey has had in like a month, because it was around the whole Jimmy Butler talk, and Jimmy Butler wanted to get traded, and here he plays I Want Out underneath. And, you know, Corey and Sauce aren't as big of 80s music fans as Chris is, obviously, and like as soon as he started playing it, I was like, that is pure genius.
For sure. All right, and we go to number one. He's our favorite. He was on the Truth Serum again. It's Tommy Olsen.
Will you ask T.O. what he normally does first thing every morning?
Can we not go down there?
I told you, don't say it if you don't want it on the air.
Hey, T.O., what's the first thing you do in the morning?
Well, you got to clear the cobwebs in the morning.
You got to clear the cobwebs out.
Oh, he is the best.
Not only like is it funny that he has all these just really weird things that, you know, he does on his own free time, but how do you just bring that up? Like, and obviously once they, you know, with all the crazy stuff that he's admitted on the show, you know, if he admitted this during the commercial break, obviously they're going to make him bring it up on the air,
of course.
Know?
It's like Sauce. Anything Sauce says immediately gets put on air.
For sure.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, too, because, like, halfway through, he has this tiny little Tommy plea of, like, can we not? And then, yeah.
Well, you got to think, like,
negotiation with Corey on the Corvus 4.
Right. Well, you got to think, too, like, he talks about his mom and his dad listens and his brother and, you know, Old Bay and Old Bay's parents listening to the show. Like, I'm just sitting there thinking of, like, Old Bay's dad, like, sitting there, like, putting this hand over his eyes, shaking his head, looking at the ground, like, oh, God. I hope he didn't figure out what that actually means.
Oh, no. Clear the cobwebs. Oh, he's just doing a little cleaning around the house. That's good.
Oh, he's handy. So those were the three quotes of the week.
Well, that is awesome. All right, well, we'll move on to your thoughts, and we'll get right to our interview with Christopher Allen Hockey.
And now, here comes another award-winning Bets and Quotes interview featuring Chris Hockey.
Welcome to the podcast, Christopher Allen Hockey, you old son of a bitch.
It's my favorite. Where's Tommy O when we need him?
Oh, I tell you, man, because we did an interview with Tommy for one of our earlier podcasts, and I think I spent the entire podcast laughing. He is just the best.
He is a wonderful man from a wonderful family, and he's just been a real jewel, man. I got to tell you, if I could have him on the show every day, I swear to you, I would. It's funny. He seems to be. You know, this sounds like a shot, but you guys hopefully know me well enough to know it's not a shot. But his entire life, he and his brother, both their entire lives were football for so long that it's like having a 24-year-old that you're introducing to the world for the first time who's been in a cave their entire life. So I love just watching him get introduced to the world outside of the maroon and gold.
Oh, absolutely. It's awesome. So first things first, first question I had to ask you is, since it's tomorrow, how nervous are you to get your IQ results?
I would guess that I am the least nervous of the entire bunch. And I'll tell you, seriously, and I'll tell you why. I'm free rolling a bit on this. I don't think anybody expects, including myself, I don't think anybody expects me to win In fact, I think most people probably expect me to be either circling the drain or near the bottom. I mean, I certainly don't want to come back as being, you know, below average intelligence. I hope that I'm at least respectable. But the people who are nervous, Corey's very, very nervous. But I think Sauce is a little bit nervous as well, because even though he plays that character on the show, he's actually a very smart guy. And he kind of he prides himself on being a pretty smart guy. So I know those guys are going to lose a little bit of sleep tonight as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait to see what bets get placed tomorrow. So I'll be live by the old Twitter machine in the morning.
Well, it's going to be fun, because the first segment, the doctor's going to call in, and basically the doctor, he is a real doctor. So this is what he does for a living. And we're not even allowed to really say who he is or what where his office is or anything like this. He is specifically doing it because he and the entire office are big time Power Trip fans. But he is an expert witness. This is what he does for a living. He goes in and testifies in court after giving people tests about their IQ and about their wherewithal after accidents and such like that. So we're going to find out a lot of information from him about the test itself, why he does the test and the way he does it and such like that. And then the second segment, that's when the actual results are going to be read. And that's when the S is going to hit the fan. It would be the greatest single day in the history of the Power Trip Morning Show if Sauce beat Corey Cove in IQ score. It would just be, I would love it so much.
Absolutely.
100%.
You know, some people do have some faith in you with the IQ test. I actually have a Caniac bet, and I have you over Corey with Chuck here.
Really?
So we got some fingers on the line for the IQ test tomorrow.
Well, I hope I performed well for you, but I'll tell you the truth. The reason that I don't have high hopes for myself has everything to do with memory. That memory has never been a strong point for me, I've read different things in the past, because I do read a lot. That's the one thing I do have going for me. It's going to help me with the word part of the IQ test, I hope. But I've always read that people who are forward thinkers have bad memories, because, you know, we're always thinking about what's next and never really concentrating on what just happened. So I don't have a great memory, and that might be a problem for me. And also, I got 10 years on everybody who took the test tomorrow, and I think plus, you know, I lived through the 80s, so I'm afraid I burnt out a few brain cells that they still have. So, I'm hoping I did well for you. I can't tell you, though. Every person I've talked to, literally every person who took the test, has no idea how they did tomorrow.
Yep.
Well, and that's kind of how it was. I listened to Howard Stern a little bit, too, and when they did the test, you know, everybody came back like, you know, I think I bombed. Like, everyone was just all nervous, and then they got the scores back, and they're actually pretty good. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, and by the way, I don't hide it. Obviously, I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, and that's exactly where I got the idea to do this entire bit. You know, I had a space of my life from '97 through, I guess, would have been '99 2000. I literally listened to the Howard Stern show every day, because I was the local board op / local producer for the Howard Stern show when it was on 100.3 on Rock 100.3. So I would record the show as it came in live from New York, and then splice it up, put my commercials in, and send it back out over the 100.3 airways here in the Twin Cities. So I literally went to school every day without knowing it, listening to the Howard Stern show every day for 2.5 years.
Wow. Well, you actually stole my second question, because I remembered you mentioning, you know, that you were some part of worked with the Howard Stern show and everything. And but I guess I'll ask the second part of that, you know, listening to him and, you know, kind of how we listen to you is listen for every day for 10 years straight, you know, and everything. How has he, as an interviewer and a radio host, kind of shaped your career?
It's a good question, because, you know, I find it to be really interesting how he has changed and how I have changed as well as a listener and as a somebody who takes in his show. Because when I was doing the show, and again, as I said, this was 97, 98, 99 around, he was much raunchier back then and had less of a focus on the interviewing. And even he admits it. And if you listen as much as I do, you know, he's got some actual interviews that he did back in that in that era that he's ashamed of, the way he treated the guests. Robin Williams is one of them that sure. he never got an opportunity to apologize to Robin for how he treated him on the interview. So, I guess the best way to say it is I learned a lot of things. I learned a lot of things when it came to how to do radio, but I won't lie. I learned a couple of things about how I didn't want to do radio as well. Because he was far raunchier than I ever wanted to be just by nature, I think, number one. And he was a little bit meaner than I ever wanted to be back then, than he is now. He's changed as he's gotten older in my opinion, in a great way. There's not a better interviewer on the planet right now than Howard Stern. And the thing that he does that I hope that I do, and I want to do more interviewing as I get older and as I continue in this in my career. But he listens. He legitimately listens to the person he's asking questions to. And so many people don't do that, man. You know what I'm saying? You can hear a lot of podcasters. I think it's a problem that they have is they ask the question, and as the person is answering the question, they're thinking of the next question as opposed to listening to the answer. And I'll tell you, if I've taken anything away from Howard Stern, it's the idea that you need to listen to the answer to your question.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of another legend here, we got Mark Rosen yesterday kind of announced his April retirement here from WCCO. Just give me a couple notes about Rosie and what you've kind of enjoyed with working with him over the years.
You know, with Rosie, it's been almost since the very beginning of this show when Superstar and I, 17 years ago, this coming Thanksgiving, started doing the morning show. Rosie started right away with us. Actually, Barrero as well. And then Barrero kind of went away after the entire, the Mr. Perfect Brock Lesnar situation. But
right.
but Rosie's been there from the very beginning. And it's speaking of how people change through time. Rosie, when he first started with us, was much more of a television guy in that he had certain boundaries and certain walls he didn't want to cross. And he wanted a certain amount of respect, which he absolutely deserved. But Rosie's a very smart guy, and he knew that as he grew older, if he wanted to stay relevant, that he needed to kind of roll with the punches and spin like a top. And that's what he did with the morning show. And as the morning show grew, he kind of allowed himself to become the butt of the joke sometime and to say things you'd never thought that Mark Rosen would ever say. So he changed his attitude toward the show because he saw – the possibilities, and he was smart enough and he was veteran enough and he let himself change. And I don't think it can be understated either how much he learned from growing with the Tom Bernard show when that show first came on. I mean, Mark Rosen was a giant part of what Tom Bernard built into a dynasty of a radio show
sure.
in the very early days of that show. So I think a lot of the credit obviously goes to Mark Rosen for how this show developed, because he saw, for whatever reason, something very early in the show that he thought may, be perhaps an updated version of what the Tom Bernard show was at one point. So I give him a lot of credit for that, but I also give him a lot of gratitude because he gave us respectability is not the right word because I don't think we have that, but
credibility.
Credit. Thank you. That's the word, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. I wish you'd come in the studio and sit there with me so bad. Tell me the word I'm trying to think of. But credibility is the right word. Mark Rosen gave us a credibility we would never have had without him. And I think, hopefully he feels like we've given him a brand new audience perhaps he wouldn't have had without us as well. So there's that when it comes to the radio side. When it comes to the personal side, he's one of my best friends. I love this guy, man. Probably won't surprise you as listeners to the show, but this is one of the true measures of friendship that I always say. Rosie's the kind of guy, all joking aside, that if my wife was passed out naked on the bed, I would allow him to sleep in the same bed with her because I know I can trust him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
And by the way, it's not above the idea. It's a real possibility my wife might pass out naked in a bed somewhere. So I Rosie's that kind of guy. I know that if I had to call him in the middle of the night, he would come running, and he knows I would do the same to him. And I respect him greatly, and I feel so horrible for all the things he's going through.
Oh yeah.
I was so selfishly relieved when he told me about a week and a half ago now that he was going to announce his retirement. He told me he was going to announce his retirement, but that he was also going to continue at the Fan and continue with the Power Trip and with the Common Man because, you know, we're all buddies and we're all friends, and he wanted to stay with us, and he needed that diversion with all the other things he's going through. So I think it's an incredible thing what he's done. Nobody does 50 years in one market then or now. He's a true icon. He's a true celebrity. And he's a true friend, and I just love him, and I'm so grateful to know him.
Awesome. We'll go back to the pre-Power Trip days. What was the job that actually brought you to Minnesota?
Actually, it was my wife's job. So my wife is Kim Hockey, but her radio name, her business name, is Lauren McLeish. And she got hired in 1994 when we were in Virginia Beach, Virginia, to come to Cities 97 and be the program director of Cities 97. She was pregnant with our son, Alex, at the time. I remember we were walking on the beach in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And again, no surprise, I couldn't have found Minnesota on a map. I'm not the brightest bulb, which, you know, I guess you'll, by the time you hear this on the podcast, you'll know that my IQ. So we came up here for her job. She was largely responsible for the success of City 97. I mean, the sampler, that was her. A Basilica Block Party, that had a lot to do with her. She had a lot to do with the Zoo music series. Anything that along with Sue McLean, obviously, but anything that you think of when it comes to City 97, that was my wife. She was the, if she didn't start it, she was the one that kind of took it, and pushed it over the edge and made it what it was. So she worked at City 97 for 19 years and then was let go. And then she went over to CBS for a while. And now she's doing some other things in the music industry. But so we came here for her job. And I was a stay-at-home dad when Alex was born for the first 2 years of his life. And then I got the call with 3 years, I guess. And then I got the call to do the producing of the Howard Stern Show locally.
Oh, excellent. Okay. So what was your very first encounter with the superstar Mike Morris?
I had so many casual encounters with Mike. When I first started getting to know him, I was actually doing the morning show. So when Howard Stern was taken off the air, I got really lucky because they allowed me to stay on. They switched the format from Rock 100.3 to Classic Hits 100. And they brought in a guy named Alan Cable and paired him with a young lady by the name of Lee Volzvik to do the morning show at Classic Hits 100 and kept me on as the producer. And we wanted to be a full-service morning show, so we wanted to have a Vikings element. And one of the guys we would have on weekly was the superstar Mike Morris.
Okay.
So the first few times I met him was by phone. And then it went from that to being a better relationship and meeting him down at camp and then going down and seeing him when I would go in to get sound bites and such like that. But he was always just such a smart guy and such a good guy and a funny guy in a locker room that frankly was not very welcoming to the press. The Denny Green era, Randy Moss era, Ed McDaniel, John Randall era, Minnesota Viking locker room was a very intimidating place. And Mike was one of the few guys that would talk to you and have fun with you. So that's my earliest memories of getting to know him was that he was one of the few guys that I didn't feel like was going to beat my rear end.
So did your relationship with him, how did your impressions of him differ between those initial phone interviews that you did and then when you actually got to meet him? Did, you know, was he kind of the same guy all the time or did something change?
When the microphone was on, Mike was a cartoon character / big time wrestler. As soon as the mic went off, he legitimately was. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. There are two people in my life that I can honestly tell you could have been on Saturday Night Live if they had chosen to go in different directions. Meatsauce Paul Lambert is one of them. I guarantee if he had had different opportunities, he could have been one of those guys. He's that funny. But the superstar Mike Morris as well, man, he had a different life and he had a different path, and it was obviously the right one. But that guy is hilarious. Mm. He was so much funnier off the air than he was on the air. If we had had a serious satellite radio show, he could have been the next Howard Stern, because the stuff that he would say off the air, we would laugh so hard we couldn't breathe. The stuff we did off the air when he was trying to record a spot, oh my gosh, was it funny. But a very funny guy and a very, very nice guy and a great family man. And just, again, another one of those people that would go to the ends of the earth for you. He changed my life in a lot of ways. I'll never forget. And again, guys, forgive me. I talk so much. I can't help myself once I get going. I'll never forget when they got rid of the Common and the Family Cole morning show, and they were trying to scramble to figure out what they were going to do with mornings. Star and I were just doing a 1-hour talk show middays on The Fan from 1 to 2. And I remember sitting in what was the Score 690 at the old building right then, and Star and I just saying, let's go ask. So we walked down to Swedberg's office and sat down, and I remember the meeting like it was yesterday, just saying, you don't have to pay us anymore. Let us do morning show. Let us do the morning show. We can't, you know, we can't do any worse. Number one. And number two, you're not going to have to pay us. And if it goes great, you look like a genius. If it goes badly, then you just put us back 1 to 2. And that's exactly what they did. And they told us in that meeting, a couple of days later, a different meeting, but in that office, when they gave us the morning show, they said, if you guys ever get a 3 share, we'll be shocked. You know, mornings in the Twin Cities, that's a tough thing. So if you guys ever get a 3 share, we'll be shocked. And then, you know, we got started and off we went.
So, like, in those early days, was it just like, hey, this is new and exciting and fun? Or was there kind of this sense of like, oh, my God, we've got to perform, or this is going to get canceled and we're going to have to do something else? Like, what were your emotions during those early days?
In the early days, honestly, we were free rolling. We completely were. My goal, and I had to write part of what I had to do, and I wish I still had it. I don't know. Maybe Swedberg still has it somewhere, but they made me write up a proposal about what the morning show was going to be. You know, the reason they brought me over to The Fan to begin with is because they wanted to put Star with somebody who knew nothing about sports, who could get him to talk about things other than sports. And I know a little bit about sports. I could care less about it. I mean, music is my life, right? So yeah. I was the right guy to put with him. So they had me write up a proposal about, here's what the show is going to be like. And my initial proposal was, number one, we are going against one of the greatest morning shows that it's ever existed in the United States, one of the highest rated morning shows ever, in Tom Bernard. So I wanted to be the antithesis of what Tom is. And at the time, I don't get to listen to him as much as I used to, obviously. But at the time, Tom was a pretty negative guy. And so I said, we're going to be positive. People are going to turn on the radio. They're going to hear us laughing. They're going to hear us having fun. And we're going to do our best not to bitch about things, because when people are driving to work, they're already tired. They probably don't want to be going to their job. Or even if they do, they'd rather be staying home. So we don't want to make their day any worse. So that's going to be our marching statement right there, is we're going to have fun. We're going to make people laugh in the morning. The other thing is, we're going to play off if you were to have an air check of the first 2 or 3 years of the show, we were a big time wrestling show. Star would take calls and people would call in, and, you know, he had his catchphrases. How can I be the man when you're the man? Have you ever been cool with a folding chair? It was just a big time wrestling show. We had a lot of wrestlers on. Brock Lesnar was, when we first started, was a constant guest, and he was still a college wrestler. Mm-hmm. We would have Mr. Perfect in all the time. We would have Chris Hovan and Jim Kleinsaucer would come in, and I will never forget. And you ask Corey about this sometimes if you ever get him on. They knew we had a 7-second delay, so they would say the F word, and then they would count to 7 and say it again, because they knew that I couldn't beep it for another 7 seconds. So it was lawless, big time wrestling radio, and it was a lot of fun, and it played up to Star's strengths, and the ratings weren't great, but they were good enough to keep us on the air, and frankly, that's all I was worried about at that time.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. So you get to 2012 and, Clear Channel was making some cuts and Star left the show. What were kind of your general thoughts at that time? And, you know, how did you think the success of the radio show was going to be without him?
You know, it was a, obviously, as you can imagine, it was a tumultuous time, and that was a rough day. And I'll never understand why they did it on Thursday, because they pulled us in the office on a Thursday and told us, you know, Corey and I, you got to do the show tomorrow without Star. So we had to come in on a Friday morning and do the show without the superstar Mike Morris after, you know, 11 years of doing the show every morning with the superstar Mike Morris. And so that was a really tough thing. It was tough for Star. If I'm being honest, and I'll be honest, Star and Corey were having some serious issues at the time. Their relationship had gone downhill. I don't know if you guys know it or not, but Corey's a pretty strong-willed individual. Star wanted, seeing it from both sides, which as a producer, I was much more of a producer at the time than I am now. And my job was to see both sides and to try to get them to work together. And I was able to do that for a couple of years, but it was not easy. But it had just gotten to the point where Star wanted more respect from Corey than Corey was willing to give, and than Corey was willing to give. So the relationship was going downhill. And then out of nowhere, we got the edict from San Antonio that they were cutting people. And from what I've been told, literally the company just said, okay, give me the list of names and how much they make. And this guy makes too much money. This girl makes too much money. This guy makes too much money. And that's kind of how it went. So that was the reason that it happened from a business standpoint. But if you look at it from a realistic perspective, something was going to have to happen because those two were becoming incompatible. They couldn't exist. They could no longer coexist.
Sure. So, you know, the show, obviously, after him, you know, it kind of felt weird as a listener, too, you know, and Mitsos came back and, you know, it just felt different for a while, but, you know, it started to pick up some more traction. And what do you think was the main reason why, you know, you guys have been so successful here, you know, over the last few years?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about that a lot because, you know, obviously I want to accentuate the positives and try to get rid of the negatives. I think the overall answer to that question is we balance each other out perfectly. And by the way, anybody who listens to the show knows this. When one of us is on vacation or gone, the show's not nearly as good. We all know that. And I think that has everything to do with the balance that we strike with each of us, with the three of us. You know, Corey is pretty damn negative, but he's very, very smart. And I'm way too positive, but I'm not the brightest bulb in the batch. And then Sauce is the funny guy, right? He's the little brother who makes everybody laugh and who takes a beating. And so I think we each balance each other out. I get all the time. When I'm out doing things and I'm on the town listening to people and meeting people a lot, there are people who hate Corey who love Sauce. There are people who hate me and love Corey and love Sauce. There are people who hate Sauce. So I think we give everybody something that they like and something that they dislike. And we strike that perfect balance. So I think if you're looking at it from an outside perspective, if I were a big wig at iHeartRadio and I was given the job of trying to determine why the Power Trip Morning Show works, I think that's the easy answer. I think that's number one. If you were to break it down on a personal level, I really think it's because each one of us knows our weaknesses. I know that I knew, and my God, do I sound like I'm patting myself on the back, and I hope you guys know I'm not, but I knew within 6 months of meeting Corey that he belonged in the big chair, that he was going to assume the big chair at some point. And he was my intern for 2 years. He was an unpaid intern, and I fought tooth and nail to keep him around because I knew he was that good. And then he got at the Sludge and Lake Show, and that's really when he took off. But I know I am not a big chair guy. I'm way too positive, and I have a hard time sometimes making people feel bad. So putting Corey in the big chair. That's number one. That's where he belongs. But he also gives me a lot of leeway to guide the show and to take it in different directions. He would never take it. And so he knows his weaknesses and not being always able to feel the room correctly, if you know what I mean. If I may pat myself on the back again, I think one of the few skills that I really do have is I can tell when the momentum is shifting in the right direction for the show, and I try to guide it in that direction. So I know what my weakness is, but I know what my strength is. Corey knows what his weakness is, but he knows what his strength is, and we kind of follow those guidelines. Sauce has been the glue. He's been the comedy. He's been the reason the show turned the corner. He was the thing that saved the show when the superstar Mike Morris went away. He's a very, very funny guy. And he is willing, not always, if I'm being honest, but most times he's willing to be the little brother who takes a beating, but also at the end of the day gets the hug as well. He's the comedic foil on the show. He is the glue that holds it together. He's the comedy. He is the funny guy. He's the Costello. And he knows that's his strength, and thank God he's willing to be that guy because he's capable of more, but that's his role on the show, and he plays it. So, boy, that's a long answer to a short question. But I think the point of the matter is we all know our strengths and we all know our weaknesses and we stay by those.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. So one other thing is, obviously the three of you are, the main reason why the show is so successful. But as the listener, you don't really get to see the people behind the scenes and that are, also making huge contributions and into shaping the show and making it what it is today. Who are those people?
Well, the number one person is AJ. AJ's obviously an on-the-air presence. But what people don't know about AJ is the number one man in command of all internet stuff for iHeartRadio, Twin Cities, and this region. So he's not just a morning show character who comes in now only once a week and comes in to do the initials game, but he has a lot of responsibilities. And in fact, we just had some meetings this week about how incredibly large our podcasting numbers are, not only as a station, but as a show. If I told you, it would sound like I was making it up, how many people download and podcast the show. And that has a lot to do with AJ and his being at the forefront of the idea of putting the show on the internet and podcasting it and making it a big deal that it's podcastable and isolating certain parts of the show. So that guy has been instrumental in our success on the air and off the air and online. He's the first guy that comes to mind when it comes to that. Obviously, Abbott has been great, and as much crap as we give him, he's been great about letting us do what we want to do. Basically, he's left us alone until he could no longer leave us alone, and he had to come in and put his foot down and say, "You guys need to do this, or you need to change that." And that's been a great thing for us. We've taken some chances that he frankly didn't agree with, but he let us run with, and that it's worked out. So then you got Little B, who basically runs the promotions department, and Ryan Donaldson, who is specifically the promotions director for our radio station. People behind the scenes who continue to promote the brand even when we're not on the air. That's been very, very important.
All right. Well, we're half hour in. How you doing? You got 10 or 15 minutes left in you?
Yeah, sure. I feel like I've said too much, so please keep going. I apologize. Keep going.
Fantastic. We like hearing your story. You are by far the best storyteller that I listen to, and it's awesome to hear you just elaborate on things rather than give just like yes, no answers,
Well, I appreciate that, man. And again, I can't tell you how I know it sounds weird, but how honored that I was to hear the podcast the first time I heard it when you guys the podcast, obviously, when you were telling the story about when I had to sing to Coach Zimmer. and without getting too deep into it, my issues with depression and anxiety and such like that have been well documented, especially as of the last year and such like that. So every now and again, even these days, when I'm the luckiest guy you'll talk to today, I'll have a couple of bad days here and there. And I was just having one of those days when I needed to hear that there were people out there whom I barely knew or didn't know, who cared that much about what I've dedicated my life to. You know, I really have. I mean, I've been doing radio my whole life, and to know that it means that much to you guys really, really means a lot to me. So thank you for that.
Well, if there's ever one of those days, just in your mind, picture the texts that go back and forth between David and I, and you can you can definitely appreciate that you have a ton of fans out here. And the thing I love about the Rubes is they're not only are they fans, you know, yeah, we listen, go to events and things like that. I mean, these people are passionate. Like, you know, I tweet enough and get enough responses to tweets and things. It's like, man, you guys have a passionate audience.
Yeah. And it's so great too. And I get a lot of people who tell me who say, you know, I feel like I know you, and I know it kind of probably freaks you out. I'm sorry if this freaks you out. It doesn't freak me out at all. It's such a wonderful thing when people come up to me that I've literally never met before and say, hey, I'm real sorry that I know how sad you were that Alex left, man. I hope you're doing okay. I can't tell you what that means to me. Just by nature, as weird as it sounds, I'm very much an introvert. I live an extrovert life, but I'm on the radio, so I talk to a million people, but it's really just me and two of my friends. And I sing on stage in front of a bunch of people if I'm lucky, but there's always a barrier between me and the people. So I am very much an introvert who lives an extrovert's existence. So I can't tell you. I don't have a lot of really close friends outside of the radio station. I love when people come up to me and talk to me as if they're my friend. You know, I just love that. It's a special thing.
Well, that's fantastic. Because, yeah, one of the things I was thinking about when we were thinking of this whole interview was the fact that, you know, as like you mentioned, as somebody that has dealt with depression, things like that, you know, you're very much in the public eye and, you know, obviously open to all the idiots on Twitter that might rip you or whatever. And I just think that's kind of an interesting dynamic too, but it's interesting that you say that, where you're kind of, in a way, you're removed from that, you know, until you do interact with the public. But like, as you're doing your job or your performance, you are somewhat removed from that.
Yeah. And you know, if I could be, there's a lot of things I'd like to be better at. If I could be better at one major thing though, I would be better at dealing with the internet criticism that comes from people that are basically hidden behind their avatar. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, I wish I had Dan Barrero's ability to deal with that. I really do. I wish I had Corey Cove's ability to deal with that.
Yeah,
exactly. Sadly, I'm not that strong. But again, you know, I shouldn't say that, because if I were able to handle that differently, I wouldn't be the person I am, and then the show I don't think would work as well as it does. So my favorite thing, and I know this is something that I'm gonna have to answer for someday, but my favorite thing is just hitting the old retweet button and seeing my friends out on Twitter, my friends out in Rubeland, just verbally attack somebody who's just being a jackass. We're strangers, but these are my friends, and they're not going to let you treat me like that, and I'm not going to let you treat me like that, and I'm not going to let you treat meat sauce like that. So I do love that aspect of it, maybe a little bit too much. So you'll often see me just hit the old retweet button on somebody who's being a jackass.
Believe me, you're not the only person that loves that a lot. I love that.
Oh, I don't know why people are so mean to each other, but geez Louise, there are some people out there who have issues, man.
Yeah. Absolutely. So is there So is there anything that would ever get you to leave the power trip?
No, not at all. No.
Good.
Yeah. No, you know, one of the other things that people say to me man, how do you do it all? You're singing, you're doing the Viking stuff, you're doing the power trip in the morning. And I've yet to find a classy way to say it, but the real easy answer to that is, I don't do all this because I have to. I do all this because I get to. And I know it's not going to last forever. So I'm legitimately trying to do it all while I still can. There's a shelf life, especially when it comes to the band and to the singing. I know there's a shelf life there. So I'm doing as much as I can while I still can. With the Viking stuff, my gosh, who wouldn't want to write on I'm 5'6", man. I stopped growing when I was in seventh grade, right? who wouldn't? I can't believe that I ride the same plane as the Minnesota Vikings. I'm on the freaking team playing. You know, who would ever have guessed? But when it comes down to it, my bread and butter, my dream job is the Power Trip Morning Show. I started listening to AM radio, WLW out of Cincinnati with my daddy when I was a little boy. And we would listen to Gary Burbank and Bob Trumpy and Bill Cunningham. And I just freaking love radio, man. I love it. And so I will not leave radio until, you know, hopefully I have the opportunity to leave radio as classily and on my own terms, the way Mark Rosen is leaving Channel 4 television. I hope Absolutely. That my career is like that. I hope I get to do the John Hines where he left when he was ready to leave, because I love this job and I don't need any more than what I've got either. I don't need to have my own show. I will be glad to sit in the chair I sit in now until the day that I retire.
That's awesome. So that's interesting. Between your music then and, you know, the success that you get from the Power Trip, is there one, you know, if you're being honest, is there one that gives you more of a thrill? Because the Power Trip, you're part of a trio and it's a group of guys and it's not just Chris Hockey, whereas with the music, a lot of it, you know, obviously you have a band and there's mm-hmm. lots of people that go into the success of that, but in a lot of ways, I mean, it's your name on it. Is there one or the other that gives you a bigger thrill when you get success from that?
I'll answer that first by saying I see them as the same. And I know that's maybe a trite thing, but the fact of the matter is, God, this sounds terrible, guys. I apologize, but it's a brand, if you know what I mean, right? The radio show, the Vikings television show, the band, all of it, when it comes down to it, it's all the same thing because it's all under my name. Right. You know, you get what I'm saying. The yeah. radio personality, it's part of the Power Trip, but it's all one thing. That said, I gave up on the idea of being a recording artist star, quote unquote, about 10 years ago. Up until then, when I was 37, 38 years old, the main driving force of my life, truth be told, was to try to get a record deal and to try to be the recording artist that I'd always wanted to be, whether it be in country or be in rock or being in whatever genre. That's who I wanted to be from the time I was a little boy. I wanted to be a rock star. And when I joined Rocket Club and we had started having success, I really honestly thought it might happen. But we were having success and Rocket Club was doing great things. And we were going down to Nashville and playing, what they call, showcase events for record companies. And I will never forget, they brought us down to Nashville and we played at this place called Third and Lindsley, a great little club right off the strip in Nashville. And Sony, Records brought us down. Paid for us to come down to play, and they flew in all their record execs from New York, from everywhere, to come in and watch us. And we went down, and man, did we played a great show. I don't mind telling you. That band Rocket Club was just full of mega superstars. I mean, Don Smithmeyer, the greatest songwriter I've ever known in person. Brian Craning, same. Joel Sales, Billy Thomas, Luke Kramer. This was a great band, guys, and we played the show of our lives in front of the Sony record execs. And the show ended and we went backstage and we had a representative out of Nashville at the time who came backstage and she said, guys, they loved it. We're going to meet tomorrow at 1:00. They want to sign a record deal. We're going to do the deal tomorrow. We'll look at how many record deal they want to do. We'll talk about the advance and such like that. But as of right now, you guys are Sony music recording artists. Congratulations. And I couldn't believe it. I literally, at that moment, guys, every dream I'd ever had come true. Luke Kramer and I had to drive back to Minnesota that night because I had to be on the air the next morning. Right. So we got back in the car and we're driving back and we're literally saying to ourselves, what are we going to do? I'm going to take a leave of absence from the Power Trip, blah, 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 blah. So 1:00 the next day, Friday comes and goes. 2:00 comes and goes. 3:00. We finally get a call. A representative in Nashville says, Sony has passed. And I don't mean in the way that Meat Sauce would say it. I mean, they have declined to offer a record deal. And we were like, what in the world happened? 12 hours ago, they were going to offer us a record deal. We had a record deal. What the hell happened? And I'll never forget her words. She said, they love the music. They loved you guys. But they just said, frankly, you guys are too old. Yeah, I know. At the time, I was pushing 40. Most of the guys in the band were mid-40s. And at that moment, guys, at that moment, I realized I was done. Because if they had said, hey, the lead singer's too fat, I would have lost weight. Mm-hmm. If they had said the music isn't quite good enough, we'd have written a bunch more songs, and we'd have written better songs. But when she said, you guys are just too old, when that was the determining factor, I realized, well, I can't do anything about that. That's it. And that moment changed my life. And I had a hangover for a couple of weeks. Sad, true hangover. I mean, when your whole dream is right there in front of you, and then literally it's ripped away in the space of 12 hours, it's going to give you a hangover. But man, from that moment until now, I've had more fun playing in the band. The show really started having its major success after that happened, because we just hit, for whatever reason, we hit our groove, and I've been a happier guy, and I've had more fun in the band and more focused on the morning show since then. And, you know, I thank God for unanswered prayers, right? Because I've had just a wonderful life since that happened. I would never have guessed I'd be sitting here these years later talking about that being a great moment, but that was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
That's an awesome way to put that. And it's funny that you mentioned that, you know, it's all one and it's all a brand, as I sit here wearing my Chris Hockey American Standard t-shirt that I bought at Worthington from Lisa.
That's awesome. Yeah, it is. It's all one brand. And we, you know, when Rocket Club broke up, we focused on the Chris Hockey Band as a solo project. Sarah Jane, my manager of 2015, 2018 years, something like that. She's managed me from the time I was just doing covers and through Rocket Club to now. We just said, you know what? We don't have to travel. We don't have to go anywhere. We have a morning show that is dominant in this region. Let's play this region and be a big deal and sleep in our own beds at night and make money and have fun and travel and just be the best we can be in this region. And that's what we've done. And it's worked out perfectly.
So good. Well, what we're going to do, I got one last question for you, and then we'll hit you with the lightning round. David's just going to fire some quick either or questions at you, and then I think we can wrap it up. So,
beauty.
Last question I got for you is, any plans to write a power trip book?
You know, that book will happen. It has to happen.
Has to.
For sure.
It has to happen, because it really is an interesting story. Not from the moment that Star and I started in that office, in Greg Swedberg's office 17 years ago, through bringing Corey Cove in, through finding Meat Sauce when he was just doing overnights, and I would come in the morning and he made me laugh, and I just thought, this guy belongs on the radio. You know, I mean, to the point where he is by far the biggest star on the morning show now, to finding Tommy. You know, to finding Parrish, to finding Ben Lieber, to finding Carly, to having Mark Rosen, and the Vegas trips in themselves could be a book, even though most of the stories I probably shouldn't tell. I mean, for God's sakes, John Kreisel, from the moment he came in, the first morning he came in, to this moment, you know, so there will be a book there. But I got to tell you guys, I don't think I can just do it myself. First of all, my memory is horrible, and second of all, it would be. I need everybody's perspective. So I think the book will happen, but we're going to need somebody to come in and talk to every one of us who was involved and write the book from everybody's perspective, because it will be a fun journey. It may only sell 100 copies, but it's going to be a funny book. So the long answer, yes, that book will happen. I just have to find the right person who's got the patience to put it all together.
Well, that'd awesome. Be awesome. I love it. Sell way more than 100 copies.
It'll have to be 7,000 pages long, because that's how many stories there are. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm flipping right to Sheryl Crow, believe me.
Oh, my God. Oh, that dude. And I got to tell you, dude, that's a true story from the bottom of my heart. When I was in that door and she was standing there. Oh,
and, that's the best part.
Dude, and again, the first thing is, oh, my God, you're Sheryl Crow. Oh, my God, you're Sheryl Crow. Oh, my God.
All right. So we've asked you a bunch of questions and drawn out a lot of long-winded answers here. So these are just, this is the lightning round. This is top of your head, quick. Let's go. I got 20.
Okay. Go.
All right. Starting now. Rum or whiskey?
Whiskey.
Pizza or a burger?
Burger.
Common or Barrero?
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, man, that's a tough one, but I'd probably go Barrero.
Thrones or Breaking Bad?
Oh, Thrones.
Ocean or mountains?
Mountains.
Sweet or sour?
Oh, sweet.
Dokken or winger?
Dokken.
By the way, when he sent me that question, he spelled Dokken, D-O-C-K-I-N. I had to school him.
Oh, my God.
Okay, number one, I'm 28. I didn't know who Dokken was until I listened to the show. And, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, put in side one of Tooth and Nail by Dokken. That is the first record I ever bought with my own money.
All right. All right, back to lightning round. All right. Yeah. Cake or pie?
Oh, cake.
Guardsy or Tenna?
Oh, my gosh, that's hard. I love both those guys. Probably Guardsy, I guess.
Rock or country?
Rock.
Steak or chicken?
Chicken.
Watching poker or watching basketball?
Watching poker, but just barely.
Morning or night?
Morning.
Coffee or pop?
Pop.
Carly or Jason?
Oh, man. I love Jason, but Carly's my dear friend.
All right. Going to the state fair or doing your taxes?
I'd have to state fair because I'd go to jail if I did my own taxes.
Butts or breasts?
Oh, man. Oh, God, that's like asking me to choose between my kids. I you know what? I'm going to say 5 out of 7 days, it's breasts.
Halloween or Thanksgiving?
Halloween, because I start getting sad at Thanksgiving because that means Christmas is really, really close.
Vegas or Nashville?
Nashville.
And last one, power trip bets or power trip quotes?
Oh, you guys are mean. That's terrible. That's mean. It's like asking me to choose between my kids. you know what? I declined to answer that question. I love you both.
I was going
to
say, right. I'll let you get away with quotes since he bet on you in the IQ test, and I've got Corey.
You know what? There you go. Okay, cool. We'll go with that. Thanks.
All right. Oh, well, it's been awesome having you on, Chris. This is really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
As a guy
so much,
who gets
man.
To listen to you every day, it means a lot.
Well, again, like I said, I appreciate you guys taking the time, and it does mean a lot to me that it means a lot to you guys. So I told you I talk a lot. You know, that's there were no commercial breaks, so you got the full unedited me.
That's perfect. Well, we're going to be out in Vegas, so we're looking forward to that.
Hey, and we weren't joking, guys. Everybody's coming. And that's going to be Rosie's retirement week.
Awesome.
So
yes.
It's going to be an absolute atrocity. It's going to be unbelievable. And Creasel is, you've seen him. He's so happy in Vegas. It's oh,
right.
I wish it was tomorrow, but I'm glad it's not because I can't wait.
It's the best. Well, hey, man, thank you so much. We absolutely appreciate your time because I know how precious your time is to you. And have an awesome show tomorrow. And hopefully the IQ turns out awesome.
Yes, good luck.
I'm tell you what, man, if Sauce's IQ is higher than Corey's, you are going to hear a man wet himself. It's going to be like, it's going to be the greatest moment of my life.
Absolutely.
Good night, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
All right. Well, that was awesome. Getting to talk to Chris. What a guy.
Yeah, dude.
He is the best. He's absolutely the best. So honored to get to talk to him, and honestly, I'm pulling for him tomorrow in the old IQ thing. I'm like, I'll be more than happy to give you a Caniac to see him beat Corey. That would kind of be funny.
I don't know. I love that dude. I reread that. I have bookmarked. I have like 5 bookmarks in my phone on Safari or whatever, and one of them is that Chris Hockey article that John Bream ran on in 2016 in the Star Tribune, kind of like a backstory on hockey and the show and stuff. And that was the one thing that I like highlighted in there was, you know, that Chris makes everyone feel like they're important and that they, like, you know, he's such a great person, you know, in general. And I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that dude's really cool.
I can still remember the first time I met him, and he was just, like, genuine, you know, like, looked you in the eyes, shook your hand, and just, he was, like, very, you know, saying, hey, thanks, man, for all you do for the show and everything. And I'm just like, what? I'm like, I'm just, you know, some Twitter account or whatever, and it's like, he just made me feel like the most important person on the face of the earth, you know, and it's just, there's very few people that really have that gift, and he's absolutely one of them, and he's an amazing storyteller, and just... you know, like I started listening to Power Trip because of Superstar, and, you know, I had no idea who Chris Hockey was and just absolutely fell in love with the guy quickly. So.
For sure, dude.
All right. Well, that will wrap it up for this show. As always, you can email us at powertripbets@gmail.com if you have any feedback for the show, or you can just hit us up on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, David?
My Twitter handle is @powertripquotes.
See that every once in a while. All right. And I'm at Power Trip Bets, so hopefully I'm active tomorrow with some IQ betting. So we'll see how it goes. Should be appointment radio. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you think we're hideous, please lie.
Coming back.